Your engine just quit. Not sputtered, not coughed, quit. You are at 8,500 feet over unfamiliar terrain. The cockpit has gone quiet in that wrong way, and the clock that matters most has already started. Not the clock on your panel, the one in your head. And research on how pilots actually respond to sudden engine failure says that clock runs long. People freeze. They stare. They ask the airplane what just happened instead of flying it. Now imagine there's a button on your panel, and pressing it takes the three things you would otherwise have to do from memory, under stress, with your hands full, and does all three at once. That button exists. It is called Smart Glide. I'm Vector, and this is Cleared Direct on Radio Hangar. Today we are going to break down one of the most interesting pieces of cockpit automation to reach general aviation in years. What it does. What it very deliberately does not do, and the honest question underneath all of it, does handing a machine the first 30 seconds of an emergency make you a safer pilot or a rustier one? Let's break this down. This segment is supported by AviationSoul.com. They make aviation challenge coins that mark the real milestones. First solo, private pilot, instrument rated, CFI, the whole journey. Beautifully made and built to last. If you have a check ride coming up or you know someone who just passed one, that's the kind of thing worth marking with something you can hold. AviationSoul.com. So, what is Smart Glide actually? Garmin introduced it in 2021 as a software feature for their touchscreen navigators, the GTN 650 and 750 Xi units, working together with a compatible autopilot and one of their flight displays. It is not a new box you bolt to the airframe. For a lot of airplanes, it arrived as a software update to avionics the owner already had. That matters, and I'll come back to why. Here's what happens when you press and hold the dedicated Smart Glide button, or on some installations, a soft key on the screen. The system does three things fast. First, it figures out where you can go. The navigator already knows your altitude, your position, and it has a glide performance profile for your airplane loaded in. So it does the math in real time and identifies airports within your estimated gliding range, not the nearest airport. The nearest airport you can actually reach with the altitude you have, accounting for winds it knows about. Then it picks a candidate and shows it to you on the map with a big obvious ring around your glide footprint. Second, if you have a coupled autopilot, Smart Glide commands the airplane to pitch for best glide speed and turn toward that airport. It flies the number you would otherwise be hunting for on the airspeed indicator while your heart rate climbs. Best glide held precisely. Hands off, if you let it. Third, it grabs your standby radio and tunes it to the emergency frequency. 1.2, 1.5, so that when you key the mic to say the three worst words in aviation, you are already on the frequency where somebody is listening, range, attitude, communication. The system takes the top of your emergency checklist and executes it in about the time it takes you to exhale. Here's what most people miss. Smart Glide is not trying to land the airplane. This is the single most important thing to understand about it, and it is the thing that gets muddled in hangar conversations. People hear Garmin and engine failure and automation, and they mentally file it next to Autoland, the system with the big red button that will fly a full approach and put the airplane on a runway by itself and talk to the passengers while it does. Smart Glide is a different animal with a different job. Smart Glide gets you pointed at the best option and buys you time. That's the mission. It flies the glide and manages the energy, while you, the pilot in command, run the engine restart flow, decide whether that airport is really the one you want, talk to air traffic control, and prepare for what comes next. It will fly you toward the airport. It will not configure for landing. It will not put the gear down. It will not flare, and it disconnects the moment you're close enough that the real flying, the part with your name on it, begins. Garmin was very deliberate about that boundary, and I think they were right to be. The hardest, most judgment-heavy part of a forced landing is the end. The picture out the window. The sight picture in the flare. The decision to stretch it or give it up and put it in the field short of the runway. Those are human calls made with eyeballs and the system knows it, so why does this matter to a pilot? Let's talk about the actual problem it's solving, because it's a real one. Go back to that number I mentioned, the clock in your head. There's a well-known study and a lot of accident data behind it, showing that the gap between a well-flown engine out and a fatal one often isn't stick and rudder skill, it's the first several seconds, startle. The freeze, the tunnel vision where a pilot fixates on the engine instruments or on the checklist and lets the airplane slow down, or bank, or wander off best glide, bleeding away the one resource that is not coming back. Altitude. Altitude is time, Every second spent confused is a chunk of your glide range gone for good. What Smart Glide does is refuse to let those first seconds be wasted. The instant you press it, the airplane is doing the right thing. Nose at best glide, wings turning toward a reachable runway. Radio ready. The pilot's job shifts from generate the correct response from scratch under maximum stress to supervise and refine a response that's already running. Those are very different cognitive loads. The second one is a lot easier to do well when your adrenaline is spiking. The data tells an interesting story here. Garmin didn't invent this idea in a vacuum. It's the same philosophy behind their electronic stability and protection, and behind Autoland, and honestly, behind the whole envelope protection movement in light aircraft. The thinking is that the accidents killing general aviation pilots are disproportionately loss of control and botched emergencies, not exotic mechanical failures. So you build automation that specifically guards the moments where human performance is known to fall apart. Startle, overload, the base to final turn, the unexpected quiet. Now let's be balanced, because that's the whole point of this show. Smart Glide is not magic, and there are real caveats. The obvious one. It needs terrain, and it needs a reachable airport. The system is choosing from airports in the database within glide range. If you're over the mountains, or over a solid deck of forest with the nearest strip 40 miles away and you're at 4,000 feet, Smart Glide can point you at the least bad option, but it cannot conjure a runway that isn't there. It does not evaluate that off-airport field, that road, that sandbar, the way a human looking out the window can. If the best landing spot is a plowed field directly below you, Smart Glide may be turning you away from it toward a paved runway you cannot actually reach. The pilot has to stay in the loop and be willing to override. This is a tool for decision support, not decision replacement. Second caveat, it's only as good as the glide profile and the winds. The system uses a modeled glide performance for your airplane. If your prop is windmilling instead of stopped, if you're heavier than the model assumes, if there's a downdraft it doesn't know about, your real glide ratio may be worse than the ring on the screen suggests. That footprint is an estimate. A good one, but an estimate. Treat the edge of that ring as optimistic, not gospel. Third, and this is the one I think about most, there's the automation dependency question. If a pilot's forced landing plan becomes press the button, what happens the day the button isn't there? A rental without it, a different airplane, a failure of the very avionics the button lives in. The engine out is a skill, the ABCDE flow, best glide from memory, field selection with your own eyes, and there's a legitimate worry that leaning on Smart Glide could let that skill atrophy. The system is a backstop for a bad day. It is not a substitute for knowing how to glide your airplane and pick a field yourself. Garmin would tell you the same thing. Any honest CFI will. And here's the flip side, the promise, stated just as plainly. For the pilot who does keep those skills sharp, Smart Glide is not a crutch, it's a force multiplier. It handles the rote, altitude-preserving, frequency-tuning busy work so the pilot's limited attention in a crisis goes to the parts only a human can do. Restart attempt, passenger brief. The final judgment call on the flare, used that way, it's one of the clearest examples I can point to of automation designed around how people actually fail, instead of automation for its own sake. Who's building this, and where's it going? Right now, this is largely Garmin's territory in the retrofit and light aircraft world, and the honest timeline is that it's already here. This isn't vaporware. Smart Glide has been shipping and flying in the field for a few years now, available across a wide swath of the piston fleet that carries the right navigator, autopilot, and display combination. If you fly behind a modern Garmin stack, there's a real chance your airplane can do this today or could with a software update and a checkout. That's the part that surprises people. The barrier is often not hardware. It's knowing the feature is there and training on it. And that training piece is where I'll leave the technology itself. A button that saves you 30 seconds is only worth anything if your hand knows where it is without looking. And if you've practiced what the airplane does after you press it, at altitude, with an instructor, engine at idle. So the real thing isn't the first time you've seen it. Automation you haven't rehearsed is just a surprise waiting for the worst possible moment. Go find the button in your airplane. Press it up high where it's safe. Watch what it does. Watch what it doesn't do. Then it's yours. The reporting and technical detail here draws on Garmin's own documentation for the Smart Glide system and on coverage from AveWeb and AOPA, along with the broader accident research on engine failure response that the aviation safety community has been chewing on for decades. If you want the show notes and the links, they're at radiohangar.com. Here's the thing I keep coming back to. The best automation doesn't make you a passenger. It hands you back the seconds you'd have lost to fear and trusts you to spend them well. Smart Glide gives you the runway. What you do with it is still up to the pilot. I'm Vector. Fly the airplane first, always. See you next time on Radio Hangar.